What is happening, everybody? Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Moonshot Podcast. On this episode, I have on my friend Jason Matias, who is a photographer, artist, NFT artist, and crypto investor. Jason has an extremely interesting background, going from the military to doing a TED Talk on his photography collection called Beautiful Things That Are Gone. Jason's TED Talk, as well as his website, are linked in the show notes below, so please take a look at both of those, and I promise you that you will be impressed by Jason's art. Here it is, folks, Jason Matias. All right, Jason, how do you say your last name? Is it Matias?
Matias.
All right, my bad. Thanks for coming on this, man. It's been a while since I did a podcast, and I put out there on Twitter, hey, does anyone want to come do a podcast with me? And you reached out, and I was super excited about that. So I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, man. I love being a part of things that are just starting out. So let's see where the conversation goes.
Sure. So I want to get to your current NFT project that you just released on Cardano, the Snek and Smog one. For those of you who are, for the people who are listening who, you know, don't follow you on Twitter and stuff, why don't you give a little background as to who you are?
So I'm a career artist. I've been a full-time artist since 2012. Before that, I was in the military for 6 years, and I got out of the military and couldn't get a job, so I became an artist. And then since then, my work's been in Nat Geo, entrepreneur.com, a whole bunch of places. I gave a TED Talk in 2018. I did landscape photography.
Sorry, yeah, I watched your TED Talk and it was good.
Thanks, man. I did landscape photography for most of my career, and then NFTs came along and it allowed me to branch into things I've always wanted to create, like the fantasy art, like the Snek thing, which is how you and I met. So I've been in crypto since 2017. I've been in Cardano NFTs since March 2021. And my bullying on Cardano has been all about bringing fine art to the Cardano blockchain.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. So, I love that you're bringing the fine art to the Cardano blockchain, because it's just kind of been for a long time your typical, like, here's your 5,000 or 10,000 piece NFT collection, and which is cool. You know, I love those, but I also love the, you know, one of ones, you know, super unique, more real world art type stuff. And, you know, I perused through your website and you're super talented, man. So
thanks.
And if it's okay with you, when I do publish this, I'll post the YouTube link to your TED Talk so that people can watch that. 'Cause, you know, I watched that earlier today, and, you know, you show some of your art pieces. I can't remember what you called that collection, Things That Are Now Gone or something like that.
Beautiful Things That Are Gone.
Yeah. And dude, those pictures blew my mind. Like that one on the coast of Washington with that, the pillar with the tree that's, that got knocked over. And then that other, Japanese tree. Dude, I saw those and I'm like, This is real. Like, well, it was, but you know, it's just stuff that so many people probably has never heard of or seen before. So
I'm glad you enjoyed it. And thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said you got into NFTs or into crypto in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And what got you into that? Like, how'd you get into that?
I used to be a day trader, and okay. I was in Afghanistan when the market collapsed, and I was putting my earnings while I was over there into the stock market, and I did really well for a while, and that taught me the market was easy. So when I got out of the military, I thought, while I was finished closing out and just getting started, I thought, well, maybe I'll be a day trader. And that told me that the market was hard and I lost all my money. So I was burned for a long time. And then crypto came around, started getting more popular, or I started hearing more news about it. So, and I had, it took me like 5 years to get over being just performing so terribly. Mm-hmm. I didn't get burned. I just performed terribly. I was,
right.
Yeah. So right about the time I was getting over that and looking for ways to get back in, crypto popped up on the scene. So that was my re-entry into markets, and that was it. So I got in and then was immediately burned again with that early bear market. Not immediately, but it was pretty soon after, and just waded through the bear market, waded through that last or the previous bear market, accumulating whenever I got art sales. But mostly afraid to jump in with more money to continue investing. But so that was my biggest bag was Cardano, right? And that's when NFTs hit the scene, I was looking for a way to get into Cardano NFTs, but there weren't any. So I just waited and watched and started experimenting. And that's what led me to be, I guess, so, you know, neck deep in Cardano NFTs.
Gotcha. Have you, I saw on your website, you have NFTs on Ethereum as well, but have you played around with like NFTs or looked at other blockchains and their NFT marketplaces as well?
Yeah, I've checked out, Tezos. And I've also been on Stacks. I have a collection on Stacks, which is a Bitcoin, kind of like a layer one, but not exactly. Anyway, proof of, transfer. But anyway, so yeah, I've been on other blockchains, but Cardano and ETH are pretty much the limit of my bandwidth.
I was buying NFTs on Tezos for a while too, late 2020, early 2021, before they really kind of came out on Cardano. I bought my first NFT on Ethereum, and you know the gas fee was like as much as the NFT itself, and I'm like, I'm not doing this again. And so then I found Tezos. I'm like, this is cool, but I loved the fundamentals of Cardano. And I heard, you know, was hearing like smart contracts are coming. And so I was just kind of like playing around as I was waiting for the smart contracts to release on Cardano. So, but I still think Tezos has a lot of really cool stuff on there. It seems more like artist centric, the Tezos blockchain.
Yeah. So, it seems like art is the only thing they have going for them.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different discussion. I'm sure I just pissed some people off, but other people are like, oh yeah, you know, I don't really know what the point of Tezos is, but there is a really robust art market on there for now. So that's there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the blockchain seems to really work. Like, you know, it's fast. It's like lightning fast. It's super cheap. It's even cheaper than Cardano. So yeah, I don't know why it's not bigger and better than it is, but, So, you got into photography. Was it while you were stationed in Alaska? If I remember from your TED talk.
Yeah. I did a lot of backcountry hiking by myself, because the crew that I was with, the people I was with, they just weren't into that sort of thing. So I did a lot of backcountry stuff by myself, and I would come back with stories, and nobody would believe them. So getting like a camera was kind of a I mean, like coming face to face with like wild animals, like bears and wolves and moose, and even some of just like the scenes, the beautiful scenery that's out there.
Yeah.
I didn't have a way to bring that home to share with people. And that was right at the time when digital cameras started becoming more affordable.
Gotcha.
So, you know, things kind of lined up for me to take interest in photography as a creative outlet and then bring some, you know, start storytelling and start sharing art with people.
How long were you doing like photography before you realized like that either you were like good at it or you really enjoyed it? Like when was that moment that it kind of like took off for you?
There was no one moment. I think a lot of people we started complementing the work that I was doing or the pictures I was creating. It was MySpace. That was when I started.
Yeah.
And I could create like beautiful galleries on MySpace, or my profile looked like a gallery and people were like, yeah, these are great. You could sell these, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't start trying to sell them until I was in college after the military. And that was like the first step. You know, I started realizing that the job I thought I was going to get was not coming around. And I also hit a point where I needed to get nicer camera equipment, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to invest in it. So I made the deal with myself that as long as photography paid for the equipment, then it would be okay. So I started trying to sell the work and just putting that money into buying a nicer camera. And then it goes up in stages from there. Do your first art show, do your first art fair, some money rolls in, and money is time, right? So I started buying mm-hmm. myself time to do more things and expanding. So yeah, there was no one particular moment that made me say, I'm going to be a photographer. It was just a combination of things and an escalation over time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you say, you know, money is time or time is money. My mom is she's a piano professor at a university. So I've kind of grown up around the arts of, at her college, they would have like art shows in the building that she would teach in and stuff. And so I was always kind of like aware of that, this field. And I've always like appreciated it. And, you know, I'd walk through these art shows and I'd see the price tag on some of these, you know, just photographs. I'm like, how is that so expensive? And then I'm listening to your TED talk and you're talking about how you're spending like 8 hours in one location to get the perfect, you know, light composition or 3 hours in another. I'm like, okay, like this makes sense because the photograph is literally perfect, but people don't realize or understand like the time that you're literally putting in just to capture that perfect, you know, 3 seconds of a window to capture that perfect photo.
Yeah. I mean, I put 4 years into doing Tree of Fire.
Is that the one?
It's not just the Japanese one. Maple.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just the hour or two I spent taking that picture. It was the 4 years of going back to that spot to mm-hmm. try to take a picture there that was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's even longer, but there's a lot of things that go into pricing and expensive is relative. But yeah, I'm really proud of my work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should be. I think it's phenomenal. So again, just for people who are listening, check out the link in the show notes for Jason's website and look at his art and his photographs because it's incredible. So when you first heard of NFTs, did you like immediately know that that was something you kind of wanted to get into to put your own creative work in?
No. Mostly my first reaction was WTF is all this bullshit, right?
Yeah.
And then my second reaction is always, who's going to buy this shit?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I'm a businessman. I run a small business. I'm an artist, but really sure. I'm a small business person, right?
Right.
So it's like, if I'm going to do this, who's going to buy it? But then I started seeing the sales that were happening and seeing all that news. So I said, okay, well, there's buyers, whether I understand it or not. And at the same time, since 2018, I've run a program called The Art of Selling Art, The Art of Selling Art. It's a education program for artists so they can do what I do.
That's sweet.
And make a living doing art. So when I saw this thing come out, part of my impetus or my motivation for doing my first NFTs was just to see what it was like so that I could share it with people. Right? Mm-hmm. Start getting that experience to tell people, you know, what's really happening here. So that's the reason I minted my first NFT and that's how I got started.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Was your first one on Ethereum?
Yeah.
That's usually people's first.
Yeah, it was a piece called Lana. And I'll send you a link to it so you can, you know, stitch it in if you want.
Sure.
It was one of the first photographs really minted. because I was pretty really early in NFTs. I was on Clubhouse in NFTs, right? And but I came into the NFT space with a traditional art mindset, and my Genesis mint is a limited edition of 50, which mirrored the physical edition that I have. So it wasn't received very well. And everyone had this, like, editions weren't cool at all in early 2021. Nobody understood it. 99% of the artists who were dabbling in the NFT space didn't have an art career beforehand. So they had no idea what editions were, or the value of editions towards their career. The collectors in the time were not really art collectors. They were just crypto bros speculating on art.
Right.
So they didn't know what an edition was or what the value of them was for artists, and were actively campaigning against them. So it was a pretty unpopular mint on a platform that sucked, because I minted it on Rarible, and Rarible quickly fell out of favor. But they had the most content on the internet to search for when I was looking for how to do this at all. So Rarible lost to OpenSea on the marketing front. Eventually.
Yeah. Which is so weird to me, because I think I've used both Rarible and OpenSea, and I think Rarible is much more intuitive for me, at least. I don't know about you, but it just, the user interface is cleaner and it's better looking. And you just look at OpenSea and it's almost just like clunky. And so it's just weird how it got so big. But when you're saying that people were kind of pushing back against the editions, what do you mean by that? What is an edition in art terms?
A limited edition run just means that there's multiples of the same art, but they're limited. So there's still a cap on the supply.
Right. Okay. Was it similar to your SNEC one that you just did? Like, you know, you have 72 hours to mint and then it's closed?
No, it was just a set edition. It's in the smart contract. There's only 50. Mm-hmm. The SNEC drop was a 72-hour open edition, or a time-based edition. So as many as could be minted were minted during that time.
Gotcha. So your SNEC NFTs, what gave you that idea? Like, what sparked that? I mean, obviously they're snacks from the meme coin, but like, how did you come up with that idea and brainstorm that? And how did you go from the idea to, you know, releasing the collection?
SNEC released an art competition.
And That's right.
I was very keen on winning it, because I was trying to accumulate more SNEC. And I, on a whim, just started trying to make a piece of art that was based on a snake. And the first idea was, how do I make a snake that is hoarding all of its winnings, right? Hoarding all of its money. Mm-hmm. Because that's what everyone wanted to do, is, you know, build a stash. So I tried to make a snake with armor made out of SNEC coins. And that was really, really hard. I couldn't get it to come out right. So instead I went with the direction of a SNEC wearing armor and in a cave full of SNEC coins. And that's how the original Smog came about. I showed it to my partner, Ali, and she was like, "Smog," because she loves Lord of the Rings. And that's how it got its name. So that was the first piece came about from the art competition. But about 75% of the way through it, I realized that you couldn't use it. It's an AI, it's a mixed media piece. So it's AI and painting and composition and composites. And I realized the direction said no AI. So I didn't win, right? But the work was good and everyone really liked it. And I, surprising to myself, really enjoyed making it. So later, someone from the SNEC team came and asked me to make something else. Like, "Hey, can you do this?" And then they asked me, "Can you do that?" And we came up with the other two pieces of art, the SNEC summoning and the SNEC snacks. So it was several weeks in the making. And then the drop idea came about when you were like, well, what do I do with this art? Oh yeah, I'm an artist. So let's see if the community wants it. Yeah.
That's awesome. And your partner, was it Allie? Did she help you like creative wise, art wise?
Just with the occasional kick in the ass.
Yeah.
The other artist on this project is Niamari.
Mm-hmm.
And Niamari works with me in TASA and is also a talented artist. And she helped me with building assets for this drop.
Gotcha. That's sweet. So I minted one. I'm really kicking myself for not minting more to get the, you burn some, and then you get the more limited edition ones. And yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I should have done that. I apologize. But I do have one of the smogs.
You can get them on secondary.
That's true. That's true. I need to go
look. You can still burn. So the burn is open for 6 months.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I'll go dive in deeper. Your smog one, at first glance, it's just, so detailed. the armor on the snake is, I don't know. I'll post a link to that in the show notes as well, so everyone can see it. But it's super cool, and it embodies that Lord of the Rings smog perfectly. With the snack coins and all that, and so yeah.
And then it's got the pipe, the glowing pipe.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I thought that was a perfect touch. So yeah. Anything else on the snack smog that you want to talk about?
No, the minting is closed, but you can still burn for the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
Holding a smog token or holding any of my art gives you whitelist to future drops.
Sweet.
So there's multiple tiers of whitelist that you can get from me. You can you can get a Gambit token, which gets you 48 hours, and it gets you airdrops and all of this cool benefits that you could see it on my website. And then holding any of my art gets you 24 hours if you're in my Discord. So, join my Discord if you have my art, share what you have, and we'll give you the right roles. So you get a whitelist. And that's going to be important, especially for the smogs. If you hold a smog, you'll get 48 hours whitelist to my next snack drop, which is going to be a limited edition artwork that's edition of 100.
Sweet. Do you have a timeline or time frame or date for when that next drop will be?
No, I don't.
Gotcha.
It'll probably be next year. I have to recharge my making abilities. But I really just have to find time. But the piece that I'm going to make is super cool. Like, it's going to be, I'll describe it. So I haven't described this to anybody yet, except for Niamari. So imagine looking through a canyon, right? And so you have like this canyon walls. And then there's like a waterfall, and then behind the waterfall, there's going to be a dark snake with like glowing eyes and a glowing pipe kind of coming out. But I'm going to customize the snake too. So I'm thinking of like adding feathers to it instead of it being just scales. And maybe I'll put a knot or something to the smog, and I'll put like a cave in like the shadow of a cave in the background with some neck coins spilling out or something. But it's going to be all photography. Well, mostly photography. And so I still have to go find someone with the snake, because I already have the canyon and the waterfall and the other elements. I just have to go find someone with the snake to photograph.
Okay. Okay. I can see it. That sounds dope, man. I can't wait for that. Are you allowed to, are you willing to say where this canyon is that you're going to photograph?
I already photographed it. It was in Bali.
It was in where?
In Bali.
Really? Wow. That's sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a similar shaped canyon that I would do if I could do here, but right now the trail is closed. It's Oneonta Gorge. That would be a cool one too.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So next year, that'll probably drop. So that's, do you have anything else? Any other projects that you're working on right now? NFT-wise?
IRL art releases. NFT-wise? No. I have the Guardians. that's my main collection on Cardano that's still minting. And then there's a few other bodies of work that are still available. Blue is a Mood is a nude collection that I did with Ali Illustrated. That's 151 pieces. There's 11 left. So that's on the cusp of being sold out. Mm-hmm. And there's a minting page, jasonmatias.com/Cardano, that has links to all of my work.
I did, right before we started this, dive into your website more, and I didn't realize you had this many collections. And so, I'll go mint a few more of your other pieces and try to get a few off secondary, because I always want to support, you know, the local artist type of, you know, especially Cardano homies. You know, I think it's just a really cool community that we have on Twitter. So, do you know any other artists kind of like yourself on Cardano?
Yeah, there's a bunch. Niamari, like I mentioned earlier, she's still creating, pretty new to creating, but publishing in NFTs.
Oh, you're back.
Am I back? Okay.
Yep.
There's a whole group of artists on Cardano. There's Niamari, who works with me for a lot of things. Deborah Berry Photography. She does the water drops. There's nothing like them on. They're pretty unique, regardless, like internet or not internet. But she does this high speed water drop photography that's incredible. Julius Juiced is another photographer that's on chain. He does a lot of portrait stuff, but his party concert Ibiza shots are just freaking awesome. So I've collected both from all three of these people. There's a bunch. I have a physical lollipop piece here from an NFT Cardano NFT artist. Can you bring that over? And I think she's a rad. I won this piece in a Twitter Space auction against seven people pulling their money together. I was like, we're freaking winning this. So this is the piece is animated, but this is the smoke show piece.
Oh, that's sweet. So the actual NFT is animated, and then you have this print of it.
Yeah, and she sent me this one as a gift.
That's so sweet.
No shade to the who did I beat? The Cardano Ministry, but I beat the whole ministry. I was like, we're not letting this go for nothing.
Yeah,
and then I have a stag wolf right here.
Oh, sweet.
He gave me this like 2 days ago. I played poker with him. I beat the whole veggie meat team in poker, and then he gave me this. So
that's way cool, man.
I think that's it. Yeah, I mean, we have a whole list. Ali Illustrated works at you want to show me something else? Oh yeah. You want to see something huge?
Yeah, I do.
All right. So I'm a collector of Ali Sabet on ETH, and we're trying to get him to come to Cardano. Mm-hmm. So I'm turning my computer so we can do this, because this is a big piece. Okay. We're trying to get him to come to Cardano, but I have some of his art too. So this is show and tell. This is a 5x3x5 Ali Sabet.
Holy cow. So this is an actual NFT, and that what is this printed on? Is this just like a canvas?
This isn't an NFT. I mean, all of his work is all very similar, but this is a painting of his.
Okay,
it's on wood panel.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
So did you buy that from him, or did you win that as well?
He gave this to me.
He gave this to you?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to start following this guy.
I mean, well, we're pretty good friends. We've both been in NFT since the beginning. He's one of the highest selling NFT artists out there.
Really?
5,000, 10,000 plus sold NFTs. Like, huge. Yeah. His work goes for like 30 grand.
That's incredible.
For physical. for a piece like that.
Let's bring him to Cardano, man. It'd be great.
Ali's working on it. The market has to rise to a place where
you froze again.
Of that caliber coming down or coming into it.
Okay, you're back.
We're working on getting him there, is what I was saying.
Cool. That'd be great to have him. I need to start broadening my horizon, start looking at more of the local artist scene. Do you know who, what's his name? Cody Houston, I think. Do you follow him on Twitter?
I haven't heard that one.
He's got some cool, pretty unique art pieces. I don't even know how to describe it. It's more like a paint style, kind of like the one you just showed me. But I bought a couple of, his NFTs and it's on Create. Have you heard of that? Create.com.
I'm thinking of putting some pieces on there.
Yeah.
Create.io or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cody's pretty talented. I'd love to have him on and talk about his art too, but he's the only other person that I know that, kind of does the individual, NFTs.
The one of one stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Create is full of artists doing that.
Right. It's kind of the point of that platform, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. So as you say, you're working on something else right now that's not crypto or NFT related. You have another art project.
Well, yeah, I'm a full-time artist. So,
sure.
I've got tons of art to complete. But yeah, I have some new releases from the desert to publish. I have a piece from Iceland that's going to get published soon. I have some work from Death Valley that I'm still tinkering with. So yeah, I've got lots of stuff on the back end, but a lot of my time goes to helping artists through mm-hmm. Artist Selling Art, that program. Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of my energy goes to anyway, and mm-hmm. not all of my time. So, I got stuff, working.
Mm-hmm. I know you only have a few more minutes, but we were kind of talking about your teaching other artists program.
Yeah, what about it though?
How did you come up with that? You said somebody kind of came up with that idea for you.
No, I'm pretty awkward in conversation. Like if we don't have something to talk about, then I just don't small talk. So whenever I hung out with any artist, the questions or the topic always went to selling art, because I was, I've been selling it since 2012, and a lot of artists want to figure out like, how do I do that? Right? Mm-hmm. So all of our conversations were always about like what I do and what I think they could do better or should do or what have you. And then I spoke to somebody and they ended up writing an article about it. And suddenly I had scores of people asking me questions. So I created a Facebook group to see if I really could help anyone. And it turns out I could. And that turned into the Art of Selling Art program.
That's way cool, man. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in selling your art, hit up Jason Matias, folks. He's a talented guy. He can help you out.
Yeah. I'm good at telling people what to do. I actually hate that about myself.
Another question I had when I was watching your TED Talk, how did that happen? Like, did you get invited to do that? And like, how do you prepare for something like that?
So one of the things I used to do before COVID was I would do art shows. I would do networking event art shows. So a show about networking events with my art. And I was telling the story of one of those pieces, and someone in the crowd was like, you should give a TED Talk about this. Mm-hmm. And I did not believe her. But she connected me to the person who was running the TED program in the city where I gave my talk. And it turns out that guy had already been to one of my shows.
Oh, wow.
So he already knew who I was and was like, yeah, we want you to come. We want you to do this. So I got invited. But typically, if you want to do a TED Talk, you have to apply. Mm-hmm. I hired a speaking coach in the end to help me refine the talk. But I spent 3 months with a notebook and walking back and forth in my loft and trying to figure out what I was going to say in the time that they gave me to say it. So that was my prep. I think the thing that helped the most was the speaking coach that I got. She rented a theater and had us get on stage in the theater, an empty theater.
Yeah.
That changed my whole perspective of speech giving.
Yeah.
If I had not done that, then I don't think my talk would have gone as well as it had.
Gotcha. Yeah. Just to kind of have you speak in that same type of, you know, environment. That's smart. Something I never would have thought of. But your talk went really smooth. Like you were cracking jokes and had the crowd laughing and, you know, did you memorize that whole thing?
Yeah. I actually memorized more than that because there's a section I completely missed in the actual delivery of the talk, but it was apparently very cuttable because it was really easy to gloss over.
Gotcha. Well, it was very impressive. And like I said at the beginning, I'll post the link to that in the show notes so people can watch it, you know, because you're explaining some of your photographs. And I think it's really cool not to just see it, but to hear from the artist's perspective, you know, how you captured that shot as well. So everyone listening, go watch that video.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah. Well, I know you got to get going. Anything else you want to say, leave on the table before we end this thing?
You can just follow me at Real Jason Matias on Twitter. I have a second account called Portrait Pills, where I share a lot of the nude stuff just so I don't get banned and lose everything. So those are the two places you can find me on Twitter. And you can find all of my mints at jasonmatias.com/Cardano.
Cool. Well, I'll post all those links in the show notes as well, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Sweet, man. Well, thanks for doing this. It was a lot of fun hearing your background more and your art and style and perspective and things. So
thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, we could do it after I blow up. And I'd be like, you got me there.
Let's hope that happens. Yeah. It will. It'll happen. All right, man. Have a good evening.
You too.
See ya. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you haven't yet, check out Jason's website to take a look at his incredible artwork, especially take a look at his collection, Beautiful Things That Are Gone, as well as his TED Talk that goes along with that. Both are linked in the show notes below.